Now for a little time I would like to turn your thoughts to the chapter we read in Luke 15 and the words that we have from the beginning of verse 20. Luke chapter 15 at verse 20. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. So he got up and he went to his father. In this story that Jesus told, there are four men mentioned. Now sometimes we just think about three men, but there are four men mentioned in this story. First of all, there is this rebellious son. Now we'll come to that in a moment. And then there is the employer who was ready to give this young lad work feeding pigs. And then there is the father who was so willing to forgive his son and take him home. And then there is the brother who was resentful. So you can think of these four men: a rebellious son, a ready employer, a reassuring father, and a resentful brother. And it is the father who stands out in this story, and he stands out in a very remarkable way. A father who is willing to forgive his son. Now that is a picture of God. A picture of a loving heavenly father who is so willing to forgive all our sin. No matter who we are and no matter what we may have done. One who is so willing to forgive us. There was a secular humanist, and she was called Margarita Laski. And one day she was being interviewed shortly before she died. And this is what she said: "What I envy most about your Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." And that is the blessing that we have. Someone who is able to forgive us. Forgiveness is God's answer to the problem of guilt and sin and so on. Now when you think of this rebellious son, then you think of this: what a wasted life. And that's really what it was, a wasted life. Now somebody said this: sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. See, with this young lad, he wanted all that the father could give him, but he didn't want the father. Because the only way that really he could get what was due to him was after the death of his father. And he is saying, you know, give me what is going to come to me. You could put it like this: he's saying, well, you know, I wish you were dead now so that I could get my inheritance. But here is this young lad, and he wanted all that the father could give him, but he didn't want the father. And I think that is a picture of many today in our world. Lots of people want everything from God, but they don't want God. So when you think of this rebellious son, then it's the story of a wasted life. But then when you think of the man that was so willing to employ him, now I wanted to put it like this: the fact that this man willingly employed this young lad was part of the plan and the purpose of God. You see, it was while he was feeding the pigs that this young lad came to his senses. He began to see his real need. And God enabled this young lad, as he was feeding the pigs, to see himself as he really was. And he thinks to himself, how many of my hired, of my father's house, the servants and so on, they've got all that they need. And he says, I'm here and I'm hungry. Feeding the pigs was part of the plan. He was brought low. It was part of the plan. He was brought into that condition or that situation so that he would begin to see his need. You know, many as a person has had to go through difficult, trying times. Sometimes some folk have had to go right down to the very depths. But then God uses that to bring them to the place where they see their real need, and that God the Father is the one who is willing to forgive them. But then another person in this story is the brother. And what you have is a resentful brother. Now, I think this was Jesus rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees, because they didn't like the fact that Jesus was accepting all these publicans or all these tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus is saying, you're just like this elder brother. And this elder brother, he resented his father receiving the younger son. But more than that, he resented his brother for coming home. Why did he not stay away? And he refused to join in with the rest of the folk. When they were rejoicing, there was no way that he was going to join with them. What made him think that he was better than the others? You know, there's a lesson that we can learn from this elder brother. And it is this. That when God has forgiven, God has forgotten. And when we think of those around us who have been forgiven, remember, God has forgiven. We forgive. God has forgotten. We forget. And when somebody is not prepared to forgive or forget the wrongs of others, then you could put it like this. It's a sin of pride. And that is what so many are guilty of. If God forgives and God forgets, so should we. But then, I want us to think about this father, a reassuring father. The one who is so willing to forgive his son. Now the son comes home, you could put it like this, with a repentant heart. He's sorry. He doesn't know how he is going to be received. He doesn't know what is going to happen to him, but he makes his way home. And I believe that the father was fully aware of what was in the mind and in the heart of this young lad. That it was true sorrow that brought him home. Now, when you think of this young lad coming home, remember, there was a time when he began to reflect on all that happened to him. But also, this time of reflection, it made him regret the road that he had taken, and that it had taken him away from his father. But also, it brought him to the place where he made this resolve, I must go back to my father. And the next thing is this, you see him, he comes home, he returns. Now all these things were good. It was good that he was willing to reflect. It was good that he had his regrets. It was good that he made this resolve. It was good that he came home. But there was something else. He had to say sorry. He had to repent. Now, when you think of this word repentance, what does it mean? It means that you want to be rid of something. And I think this is what this young lad was feeling as he was coming home. I'm so guilty. And I want to be rid of my guilt. And that's what repentance is, when we want to be rid of our sin. And sin brings guilt. But then there was something else as he was coming home. He wanted to be right once again with his father. And that's what it means when we come to believe in the Lord. We are made right. Not perfect, from our point of view, but we are made right with him. And you can imagine that, you know, there would be, at least this is what the son would have been thinking, there's this huge barrier between my father and myself. And when this young lad came home, sorry for what he did, then that barrier was removed. And he was brought back to fellowship. Now, I'll say more about that in a moment. But it was on the basis of that, I believe, that the father was so willing to receive him and so willing to accept him and not to turn him away. See, the father could have turned him away. And as this young lad was making his way home, you can imagine the thoughts that were going through his mind. The devil would be saying to him, there's no chance that God is going to accept, that the father is going to accept you. Do you think that you're going to be forgiven? Do you think that you're going to be taken in and so on? And all these thoughts were in his mind. But when he came home, he discovered that the father was so willing to forgive him. And you know, there are times when an individual may be seeking God, and the devil comes with these thoughts and he says, if you think that God is going to forgive you your sin, then you're mistaken. But what we must remember is this. If we say that God couldn't accept me, or if we say that God could not forgive me, then we are making God a liar. So what happened? When this young lad returned home, the first is this, the father recognized him. Now, I think there are three things with regard to that. And the first is this, the father still loved his son. He didn't know all that the son did, but he knew that he took the money, and he knew that he made his way, and he probably had this in his mind and in his heart. He's wasted his life, but he still loved the son. And I think there were times when he longed for the son to come home. And maybe that's where he was on this particular day, maybe up on a little hillock, looking away into the distance, because he longed for the son to come home. He looked for him because he loved him. And in spite of everything, he was willing to forgive him. So, you have the father recognizing his son, even from a long way off. The second thing is this. The father ran to him. Now, this is the action of a father who cared. He ran. Now, somebody put it like this. The old men there, they didn't run. But this man ran because he recognized his son, and he was so full of compassion for his son that he ran to him. Why? Well, I think there were two reasons why this father ran to his son. He wanted to show his son and the friends and the neighbors that his love for this son had not changed. That's why he ran to him. But also, he wanted the son to understand that no matter what, his love for him had not changed. I wonder, have you had a what we would call a spiritual fall? Have you been aware of backsliding? Maybe today you realize you're not in the place where you once were or where you should be, spiritually speaking. Then you have to be assured of this. God still loves. God still loves you. And that's what he says to all his people, no matter what. Nothing will separate us from his love. And when you think of all our faults and all our failings and all our frailties and so on, God has taken all of that into account. He still loves us. So, he wanted to show his son and the rest that he still loved him. But there is one other thing. I believe that he wanted to shelter his son. From what? Well, if you think of it this way, the neighbors, they had a right from the law of Moses, from the law of God, to kill the rebellious son. Now you have that in Deuteronomy. If someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they disciplined him, then all the men of this town are to stone him to death. And he ran to him, not only to show to him that he loved him, but I believe that he ran to him to shelter him from the stones which the neighbors could have thrown at this rebellious son. And in stoning the son, they would have been hitting or stoning the father. The father embraced him. The father had his arms around him. The son, who maybe had feared his father's displeasure, is now experiencing his father's love and his father's care. And when you think of what God is willing to do, willing to forgive. But remember this, when Jesus died on the cross, all the blows that were due to us because of our sin, he took these blows on his own body when he hung on the cross. And if these men in the village, these neighbors, had begun to stone the young lad, the stones would have hit the father. A picture of a father willing to forgive. The picture of Jesus, who is willing to bear the punishment of our sin. A picture of one who is willing to forgive. So, the father recognized him. We are told that the father ran to him. And a third thing is this, the father received him. Now, as I said earlier, the father could have turned him away. Go back to where you came from. I don't want anything to do with you. But the father received him. Imagine someone truly seeking God and wanting his forgiveness, comes to God in prayer, comes to God in repentance, and God says, "I don't want you." That would never happen. Because God says in his word that when we come to him in all sincerity, he would never, ever turn us away. That is the mercy and that is the loving kindness of the Lord. The Father received him. But then, another point is this. The Father reinstated him. Now, you think of this word, a theological word, justification. Professor Finlayson, when he was lecturing on the word justification, he would begin like this: justified, justified never sinned. Justified never been away. Now that is what happened to this young lad. The father received him. The father reinstated him as if he had never been away. That is what God does. When God forgives us, he brings us into this situation of just being justified, as if we had never been away, as if we had never sinned. That is the wonder of the gospel. And no matter what we have done, no matter who we are and so on, that we can be cleansed, forgiven, just as if we had never sinned, as if we had never been away. So, when you think of this father, he recognized his son. So much so that he ran to him out of a heart that was full of compassion. He received him. He reinstated him. He gave to him the blessings of the Son. And that's what happens when we believe and trust. Then we are sons and daughters. We are within the family of God. Christ is our elder brother. God is our loving heavenly Father. Then, something else you notice is the Father rejoiced. I like the words, you know, there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. And it's mentioned especially in the other parables. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The Father had good reason for rejoicing. And when you think, if you think of these words, rejoicing in heaven. Now, in one part it says, amongst the angels. Who rejoices? There are one or two folk that say, well, that is a reference to God. God, who is in the midst of all the host of heaven, will rejoice. But I think it's a reference to all who are in heaven. That in the ways that we can't understand, they know that a sinner has repented. And there will be rejoicing in heaven. Heaven will rejoice. Because someone else has come to that place of belief and trust. And this Father is rejoicing. Not just because the Son has come home. But what a reunion. And he says he's no longer dead, but is alive. Now that is our position without Christ. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. But we are made alive in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why there is rejoicing. Now, I often think along these lines as well. If heaven rejoices, then earth should rejoice. In other words, the church, the believers should rejoice when they hear of this one here, that one there, this other person coming to believe and trust in the Lord. And when you hear of the movement of God's Spirit elsewhere, in other lands, we rejoice. Oh, we long that this would happen around us more and more. But we rejoice with those that are rejoicing. Because sinners have come home. Sinners have been forgiven and have been brought into the family of God. I wonder then, where are you today, spiritually speaking? You might say to yourself, well, I'm not like this rebellious son. But the question is this, have you bowed your knee to the Lord? Have you confessed your sin? You might say, but look, I do all these other good things. But the point is this, have you come to believe? Have you come to trust in the Lord? And if you haven't, you're still in rebellion. You might be a good rebel, but you're still in rebellion. The second thing is this. Can we find ourselves like the Father that is mentioned here? That we follow the example of our Heavenly Father, so willing to forgive, so willing to forget. You know, it's strange that some people, not only do they dig up their own sins that have been forgiven and forgotten, but they seem so keen to dig up the sins of others that have been forgiven and forgotten. Are you harboring a grudge against anyone? If you're a believer, there should be this willingness to forgive. Could it be that you're like the son? The son that rebelled but came home. Are you looking for forgiveness? Do you want to know what it is to be right with God? He has promised that when you come to him, he wouldn't turn you away. Or could it be that you're like the elder brother and you don't like when God is blessing others, and maybe you could be regarded as a good hypocrite and not willing to rejoice when others rejoice? I wonder, do you need to come to that place where you too have your trust in the Lord? So what we have here is this, just this, these simple words. So he got up and went to his father. Whatever your need is spiritually, may you know what it is to get up and go to God the Father. Amen. May God add his blessing to these few thoughts upon his own word.